For those just tuning in, I'm Kleanna Lightborn.
And I'm Eric Newton. You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WOOC 105.3 FM Troy.
To learn more about the Hudson Mohawk Magazine program, to listen online, and to learn how to support the Sanctuary for Independent Media, check us out online at mediasanctuary.org. If you have comments, suggestions, or a sour bone to pick, you can text us at 518-888-3004. Also, be sure to tune in 7 to 10 weeknights for Jazz Sanctuary, a wonderful celebration of all that is creative, dedicated to supporting jazz in the Mohawk Hudson region.
Ellie Irons, a PhD student at RPI and volunteer at the Sanctuary's Nature Lab, spoke with WOOC correspondent Branda Miller about the Next Epoch Seed Library, an artist-run seed library focused on wild urban plants.
Ellie Irons, who is going to be our artist-in-residence this summer for an NEA grant as part of Nature Lab North Troy Art Technology and Urban Research in Ecology here in North Troy at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. The project, the whole grant, is called BioArt Futures and Our Forgotten Urban Ecologies. And Ellie is going to be working on her project, which is called Next Epoch Seed Library. Welcome, Ellie.
Hi, Branda.
Could you please tell us about the Next Epoch Seed Library?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the Seed Library is a project that I started in 2015 with a collaborator named Anne Prococo. Anne is based in Jersey City. I was based in Brooklyn at the time, although I'm now in Troy. And the two of us realized that we both had this interest in seed saving, and we'd come to it through artistic practice, which struck us as kind of a funny coincidence. And it was actually just during a casual studio visit that we thought, well, maybe we should start kind of saving seeds a little more formally and start swapping them. And the basis of the seed library actually has to do with the kinds of seeds that Anne and I were interested in saving, which is seeds that most people would call weeds. We like to call them wild urban plants or spontaneous urban plants. These are the plants that do really well in landscapes that humans have impacted heavily, whether it's growing out of a sidewalk crack or growing in a Superfund site. They're plants that are survivors, and we think they have all sorts of benefits and are often overlooked.
I know that you offered a workshop where there was a seed exchange a few months ago, and it was extremely popular. Why are seeds important? Why do we need to be looking at them more now than ever?
Yeah, that was a really great event. I put that together with Azaray of Collard City Growers, and it was a really wide-ranging event in that we didn't just focus on wild urban plant seeds. To the contrary, it was things that people had harvested from their gardens and things that kind of home gardeners wanted to share with each other. Actually, everything in my garden this year is sprouted from the seed swap. Actually, I should say, last week everything was. I just added some stuff from the plant sale. So now it's a little bit of a mix. But seeds are key to food sovereignty. And the way that things have been shifting in terms of industrialized agriculture and corporate-run agriculture, we're running into this situation where there's actually getting closer and closer to being like a monopoly on seeds. I think it's, is it Bayer and Monsanto that are working on merging, right? And they actually control a huge range of seeds in the form of industrial agriculture, where these seeds are sold to people who are required to plant in a specific way and harvest in a specific way that feeds this kind of, I think, really disastrous relationship with food. So by saving our own seeds, we take back some of that control, and we're actually able to understand the process from start to finish of feeding ourselves, which I think is revolutionary, even though it's something humans were doing up until just 100 years ago.
And by working with seeds, you're planting a seed for this very critical conversation about our future and remaining free of toxins and what we can do to make a difference in our community.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's funny because we work with wild urban plants, which people don't tend to associate with community health and resilience. But to us, the wild urban plants that live alongside us in cities are actually key to a healthy, livable city. I mean, certainly there's a few plants that, like poison ivy, humans have a hard time with, obviously. Ragweed, some people have a really bad allergic reaction to. But there's so many of these wild urban plants that are doing huge services to us. So they're helping capture and hold water in the soil. And in a city where we've got combined sewage overflow problems, that's hugely helpful. They actually capture and hold particulate matter, particularly those ones with large leaves. And so that means they can actually be reducing air pollution. In a situation where we've got asthma problems, you want to be around trees that are able to hold on to some of that particulate matter. Certainly, we hear a lot about the heat island effect in cities, like temperatures going up and actually getting hotter in cities. So we're having actual like deaths from heat, which is not something that was perhaps as common in the United States 30, 40 years ago. We've been, if we're able to kind of rewild and reforest our cities, we'll have less trouble dealing with that in the future potentially. And of course we could do that with the kinds of plants that might have been here 200 years ago, the native species 400 years ago. But unfortunately, because our climate is changing, some of these weedy plants that have come from other places, say like the Tree of Heaven, the ailanthus, or the princess tree, Paulownia, they're actually really well suited to the changing climate. They're pretty flexible. And as things get hotter in the future, we might find that they're better able to handle these challenges, which is kind of what the next Epoch Seed Library is about, is shedding light on some of those future companion species.
Wow, so it's like really learning about climate change through action, through direct action.
Yeah.
And this summer, you're going to be doing this residency with youth who come to our Uptown Summer Program. It's the 8th annual Uptown Summer Program. This summer is going to be focusing on environmental justice and environmental stewardship leadership. And how will the next Epoch Seed Library play into the Uptown Summer Program?
Sure. Yeah. So we're really looking forward to this. We've been doing a variety of programs, not just about, and we do collect, harvest, save, and share the seeds of wild urban plants through exhibitions and seed swaps, like you mentioned. We have a big educational component. But another part of what we do is trying to imagine seed pasts and futures. We're really fascinated by the fact that seeds can, in a way, time travel. So I don't know if you've heard some of these stories that have come out recently about seeds that are discovered in archaeological sites. So there was a 2,000-year-old seed discovered in what's now Israel by archaeologists about 10 years ago. It was a seed of a Jerusalem date palm, a kind of variety that's not around anymore, and it was actually sprouted. And that tree grew into a full-size tree and has now made baby trees. So it managed to keep a little germ of itself alive for 2,000 years and then sprout again. So we're really fascinated by that. I think it kind of awakens the imagination as to time spans bigger than ourselves and helps us think forward and backwards in terms of generations of people and plants. So one thing that we'll be working with the youth to do is create kind of a seed time capsule. We'll be putting kind of some hopes and wishes and aspirations and perhaps fears also about the future into a seed capsule along with seeds that are known for their longevity. And we'll be finding a place somewhere on the Nature Lab campus to inter this long term. Some of the things Anne and I have done in the past, we just did one earlier this spring where we're planning to dig the vessel up in 10 years and see if any of the seeds sprout. So it's kind of a promise to ourselves to continue this project and to keep thinking about these issues and to return and dig the seeds up and then bury them again. And with the invitation being for someone to dig them up 100 years from now. So imagining what will the landscape look like in 100 years? What do we hope for? What do we need to put in place now so that the kind of future we're burying these seeds for might exist?
Planting roots and hopes for resilience.
Yeah.
With the youth and with the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Do you have any last words you want to say about this project?
Let's see. What else could I tell you? Well, at the Seed Swap, actually, we did a little bit of work with a very contemporary just in the moment rather than burying seeds for long term. This was about seed redistribution. I actually did a little urban ecology explainer about it a few months ago about this plant primrose that grows all over North and South Troy, but actually has had some lack of genetic diversity because in urban ecosystems, it's sometimes hard for plants to share genes because they're far across, away from each other across sidewalks and large infrastructure, big buildings. So we were encouraging people to take some evening primrose seeds from North Troy and place them in South Troy, and with the hopes that that would help the plants interbreed. And also because more diverse plants, it turns out, there was a scientific study that showed this, actually support more diverse insect habitat. And with our insects in decline, as you may have heard about recently, we need to do everything we can to provide them with a serviceable habitat.
If people want to get involved who are in the listening audience, how could they be involved?
Well, you can certainly check out our website, nextepochseedlibrary.com, and we've got a list of ways that you can kind of do some of this stuff yourself. We've got some curriculum. You can download activities. You can email us from there. There's a contact link if you want us to share seeds with you or if you have seeds to contribute to us. We take donations, and we also try to keep a list of upcoming events. So just check that out.
We look forward to watching the next epic seed library evolve in North Troy and beyond. Thank you so much for being here, Ellie.
Thanks, Brenda.
That was Ellie Irons speaking with WOOC correspondent Brenda Miller about the next Epoch Seed Library.